That's when the drill seized up. Oh, boy, let me tell you. People were panicking, yelling over one another. Hot steam started to erupt and everything. Thankfully, Zeke was already standing by with a thick wrought iron plug to fill the borehole, just in case.
That's cast iron, baby. If I use wrought iron, Frank and all would be out and doing demon-ass things, causing only God knows what kind of demon-ass damage.
Please, don't bring his name up. It hurts the ears.
Shut your mouth, Soul Eater. Ain't nobody talking to you.
All right. Jeez.
The plug was a converted access hatch we used to use over one of the old fuel pits. We got it ready to be deployed if the geothermal tap hadn't worked. It had already been welded shut to keep the pressure from blasting open the door. We also drilled some small porthole valves for occasional inspection. We were checking it when Franklin appeared inside.
Appeared?
Well, yeah, you tell him, Franklin.
Look, Tommy, you know I respect you. You're the only Dexter I let walk free down here in these arches. I don't need no beakers coming down here breaking stuff. I don't need no sightseeing tours down here for the 5 o'clock freak show.
Gentlemen, you're keeping a person confined against their will. That's called kidnapping. It's kind of a serious thing.
I like the new guy.
I want you to get him out and release him now.
Oh, Deputy Marshal, that would be a horrible idea, sir.
Look here, lawman. You may be the authority up there on the surface. There are things it sounds like nobody brought you up to speed on.
Now, don't go all Mark Furman on me. I'm just reaching for a bottle of water. Go ahead. Oh, you can't be serious.
No, man. I'm serious all day long and twice on Sunday about not letting Damien here out this here cage. I get it. Some people need to see with their own eyes. No tricks, no magic, no sleight of hand. Just consecrated H2O.
Oh, come on. That's unnecessary. And besides, it's just plain rude.
Tommy.
Just regular holy water, Deputy Marshal. Down the hatch.
This round on us, Hellspawn.
It's gotta be a trick.
Man, I just got done telling you this ain't no trick. You saw me and Tommy drink this stuff with your own fool eyes.
There's some kind of ignition device in there.
But where's the wires for electrical ignition? Or a fuel line for gas and pilot light?
By the way, I appreciate the concern.
This ain't no David Blaine street magic shit. There ain't no cameras around here except for the one on your vest. I just met you now, a few minutes ago. But I don't got no reason to impress you. This ain't no fantasy law, man. This here is real life shit in that cage.
I know this takes some getting used to, Deputy Marshal, but we're being 100% serious with you. Scout's honor.
I'm going back, topside. I have a murder investigation to resume.
I'll head back up with you. Thanks for showing him, Zeke.
Serious now, Tommy. This here's my vehicle maintenance facility. Ain't no Barman Bailey circus tent. You come down here, it's for business. Not to show off Heaven's Rejects. My VMF is sacred.
Seriously? Some burn ointment? Aloe? Nothing says I'm sorry like nature's own salve.
Don't you test me, demon. I am 2 seconds away from having a super soaker shipped down here.
What's a super soaker?
Oh, I'd love to show you.
Recording stopped.
This is day 4, U.S. Deputy Marshal Bass Marlowe reporting, October 6th, 0530 hours. Okay, I'm not going to even try to describe what I witnessed yesterday in the arches. You don't know what the arches are, right? The main storage mechanical infrastructure complex that supports the elevated station. It resides in four separate large trenches, which were dug out 50 feet deep. Arch-shaped domes were constructed inside and then covered with snow and ice. Prefab buildings were then added inside. Their power plant, their water treatment plant, garage, and fuel are down there, along with other things. After my experience in the Arches, I focused back on the case and was taken to the crime scene. Arrived 1750 hours and examined room where the body was discovered by Dr. Carl Jovac. Dr. Jovac and Bay Surgeon Dr. Ambrose accompanied. The body was found in the Mapo lab. Mapo sits about half a kilometer away from the main elevated station and is part of what they call the Dark Sector, an area which is kept clear of sources of interference with electromagnetic signals that could hamper radio telescopes. Mapo is the central facility for maintenance and operations of the South Pole observing systems, such as telescopes and detectors. The room where Rodney was found is a small, self-contained office inside the overall Mapo lab that had been sealed off. The tags are still in place, and the room had not been entered since Rodney was discovered. Diane, can you ship me a new UV light? Mine isn't working, so I'm borrowing a UV cleaning wand from one of the one of the scientists. Damn, I'm starting to talk like them now. The wand is working okay, but I want my own gear. In-depth investigation didn't net any new information the photos or videos hadn't already provided. The one interesting item we did discover was an external drive that was supposed to be in Rodney's office was missing. I've ordered the doctor's laptop to be taken to the local IT team to see if they can determine what may have been on that drive, as well as all Rodney's computer activities for 72 hours leading up to the night he was murdered. Today also marks the deployment of the NASA Lifeline satellite array. Launched several months ago, the satellites have aligned themselves to allow for more direct internet access and greater speeds for Antarctic science stations. Now, a more stable internet service should be available for at least 10 hours per day and with higher bandwidth speeds. Better than the 1998 dial-up speed they had anyway. First interview at 0900 with Dr. Helena McKendrick, the romantic partner of the deceased Dr. Rodney.
Of course, I'm sad to have heard he was murdered, but he wasn't my husband. He was a summer flower in a winter's garden. A distraction that provided temporary comfort for the season.
Poetic way of classifying it, Dr. McKendrick. Had you and Dr. Rodney been having any relationship issues?
Nothing too unordinary.
Can you specify?
Rather personal question, don't you think, Deputy Marshal?
I find homicide even more personal. The more I understand all the elements in Dr. Rodney's life, the sooner I can complete the puzzle.
Like most men I've known, they have problems rising to the occasion when it's cold. Mark was no exception. Walking to and from his precious bicep array in Mapo certainly didn't help him stand tall.
Other than his performance issues, were there any other problems?
My relationship with Mark was all about performance. We had sex, Deputy Marshal. I wasn't looking for someone to confide in and share all my woes. I have one of those back in Bethesda, and that's more than enough.
Up till his death, were you on good social terms?
Yes.
Tell me about Fred Ferguson.
Firefighter Fred? Man is a lovesick little puppy dog. He was hitting on me 16 seconds after I stepped off the plane in Christchurch.
You don't have any interest in him?
No. I mean, I suppose he might appeal to some of the younger grad students, but I need a man a bit more seasoned. What are you, Deputy Marshal? 35? 40?
Spoken for and on the job.
So was Mark.
Doctor?
Oh, please, call me Helena.
Doctor?
Likes to take charge, too. Very well, Deputy Marshal. I'll behave.
Thank you. Did Dr. Rodney and Fred get on all right?
Not at all. Mark knew full well of the affection Fred had for me. Unrequited or not, Mark could be a bit jealous of the attention other men showed me.
Did that contention ever manifest to a physical altercation?
Oh, heard the pie story, did you?
Pie story? No.
Well, the way I heard it, Mark and Fred were in the galley around the same time. After Mark had finished his lunch, he went up to the dessert counter for a piece of pie. Fred saw this, got up from the table he was at, and took the last piece of pie Mark was reaching for. Then he made a comment. A rather rude comment.
What was this comment?
Aren't you getting enough pie already?
What did Dr. Rodney do?
He punched him. You have to understand, Mark was an academic. I don't think the man had been in a fistfight his entire life, but when Fred said that, he hit him. Knocked Fred right out. Well, that was a major ordeal, let me tell you. Fred started talking about pressing charges until he realized he'd have to admit he got taken out by a beaker. There was a formal hearing. Well, as formal as things get with Lawrence in charge.
Dr. Wainwright.
Yes. He threatened to send Mark back to the States if there were any more issues. Told Fred he was also being put on notice. Lawrence has little patience for anything that disrupts the smooth operation of the station.
When did this happen?
Would have been in late January.
I think I have everything I need for now, Doctor.
May I see your pen a moment?
Of course. Here.
My room number, just in case you need to follow up with more questions.
Good afternoon, Doctor. Unbelievable.
Recording started.
Hey, Mr. Kelly.
Oh, geez, Deputy Marshal. I didn't hear you walking up.
These all the new summer people?
Oh, the largest batch, anyway. We sometimes get a final few stragglers late the first week and into the next, but other than an ungone or two, this is the bulk of them.
I'm afraid to even... ungone?
Oh, no. That's just somebody who says their goodbyes, and then they have to turn around because of the weather or plane issues. You know, they're back where they started and have to say all their goodbyes and fare thee wells all over again. Ungone. Yeah.
Around here, always best to ask.
Oh, that reminds me. You have a message here from the Marshal's office, Hawaii. It came over CB and was rerouted from McMurdo to us.
To U.S. Deputy Marshal Bass Marlowe from U.S. Marshal Goodwin, blah, blah, blah. National Science Foundation is requesting any 2021 winter over staff who can be cleared as suspects and were slated to return to the U.S. should be allowed to do so? What the hell is Charlie thinking? Mr. Kelly, how can I get a call out to Honolulu?
That's not hard. All our calls go out on VoIP, take a sat relay to the Beauregard Lowing Complex in Boulder. From there, it gets rerouted like any other phone call. But you better hurry.
Why?
Well, Lifeline 4 satellite crosses the horizon in 20 minutes. LL5 won't be in position until 1,400 hours.
Is there any way to make that call without going through Bolo?
Well, I guess the Iridium satellite phones wouldn't have to connect through Bolo.
Do we have any?
Well, we do have two or three, but they're for emergency use only. Dr. Wainwright's orders.
Perfect.
Sorry, I couldn't be more help.
U.S. Marshal's Office, Honolulu. How can I direct your call?
It's Marlowe for Marshal Goodwin. Hey, Steve. No time for chatting. I lose this satellite in 20 minutes. He in?
Yeah, bro. Shoot it.
Didn't think it would take too long for you to call.
What the fuck, Charlie? When did we start rolling over for a defense contractor?
Okay, I figured you'd be mad. But let me clarify a thing or two for you. One, the request came from NSS, not from Beauregard Lowing.
Oh, cut the horseshit, Charlie. This request has Bo Lowing stamped all over it. When was the last time the NSF was so damn...
Two, the U.S. Marshal Service is at Alison Scott due to the request of the NSF. As such, we need to keep this in mind and remember, they could insist we hand the investigation over to old Bill Culligan out of McMurdo. Technically, he has the jurisdiction in Antarctica. Which leads me to point three.
Go ahead.
The generating interest back in D.C., Bass, the wrong type of interest. I have Don Watson's office so far up my ass I can take patent leather and shoe polish for it.
What's their problem with me?
You're there on a homicide investigation, Bass. I'm hearing all kinds of chatter that you're looking into goblins and parallel universes.
Satellite connection lost. Satellite connection lost.
Fuck! 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 Fuck you! You motherfuckers can eat shit and die! Fuck your station! Fuck your orders! Fuck you and your defense budget spending sideways self-gratifying!
Y'all okay in here, Shug?
I'm okay, Ms. June. Thanks for checking in on me.
Well, now, bless your heart. You can't be raising that much cane for another few days. You only just arrived, and the altitude will get you winded faster than a knife bite in a phone booth. Now, you just sit there spell, and I'll fetch you a glass of water.
No, Miss June. I'm okay.
You are so darling. You thought that was a suggestion. Now, I want you to slowly sip this over the next 10 minutes and stay in that chair. The hydration will make you right as rain again. I don't see you sipping your drink, Deputy. Thank you. I'll be just around that corner if y'all need anything else.
Thank you, Miss June.
You're welcome, Shug.
Recording stopped. Recording started.
Diane, when I came here, I knew it wasn't going to be easy. No serious crime has ever been committed by an American on Antarctic soil. Hell, no murder has ever been committed by any nation citizen on Antarctic soil. A very unfortunate distinction for us. You've known me 10 years, Diane? I'm not one to shirk from challenge, lack of resources, lack of support staff, lack of proper communications, all this I can overcome. The man I was named for, Bass Reeves, worked in the Indian and Oklahoma territories in the 19th century and didn't have any of the luxuries we have today. This is a challenge I fully accept. What I can't accept, what I won't accept, is being undermined by a cutthroat defense contractor with no moral compass. There was still 10 minutes left on that starlight. I know Bola was listening in. Hey, what is the Dustin Hoffman movie in the 60s? Having an affair with an older woman. What's that you say, Mrs. Robinson? That one. Which reminds me, need you to requisition a satellite phone, Iridium. Need one of them, best shipping possible. So, fun facts, as I look at my drink and talk at you, the locals have a drink they make called Poppy. It's any booze you have poured over Antarctic ice, hundreds of thousands of years old. In a way, Diane, you could say the ice I'm staring at in my glass of Knob Creek bourbon right now, frozen 250,000 years ago, was made exactly for this moment, waiting for me to be here in this place. Fact the second. Drinking at altitudes of extreme height above 10,000 feet can accelerate the inebriation process. fact, the three. 2 seconds. Sorry, Diane. I had to pee. Where was I? Shit. No. All right, you got this. Deputy Marshal Marlowe.
Good evening, Deputy Marshal. Sorry to disturb you at this hour, but wanted to let you know I've notified the four individuals you wanted to interview tomorrow. Also, if you wanted to know, LL7 crests in 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly.
Oh, no problem at all, sir. Good night.
The third thing is named Kendra. I don't know what it is, Diane. Just hard to put in words. You know, when my wife and son... I'm sorry. I didn't think I'd care for anybody again. No. Not saying I have feelings for a woman I just met and had a grand total of a 4-minute conversation with. Just, I don't know. Something there. Maybe. Obviously, none of this is for the formal investigation transcript. Please reach out to Charlie and let him know. I'll call him when able. Thanks, Diane. Good night. This is day 4, U.S. Deputy Marshal Bass Marlowe reporting October 6, 2355 hours. Conclude the day. Report. Bass out.
This has been 90 Degrees South. On behalf of the cast and crew, I'd like to thank you for listening. If you liked the episode and are enjoying the series, please remember to give us a like, a share, a tweet, send a raven, or review on iTunes, Audioboom, or your favorite podcast site. It helps us to get the word out and keeps the cold at bay. Until next time.
This has been a BMB production.